One of the things that we are looking forward to is Good Friday and Easter, and we're starting to give thought to how can we make these times special in this format that we're currently using? Because you know what? It looks like we're going to be continuing to meet this way, at least for the next little bit. And so one of the things that you can be doing is making sure that on Good Friday, you have some grape juice or some sort of red juice handy, as well as some bread or crackers, and so that we can do communion together. You know, despite the fact that we are not physically together, you know, Jesus says that we are unified in him. And so our participation in communion, remembering Jesus' sacrifice, is a powerful act that we can do to say, we belong to one another, we belong to Jesus. And so you can help us out by making sure that you have those supplies in your home. Now, we'll be passing along more information about Good Friday and Easter as we get some things worked out, details worked out. But for now, that's what you can be doing in anticipation, just making sure that you have those supplies handy. Now, as we get into our teaching time this morning, let me encourage you to open up the sermon notes that you can find linked below in the description here, and that will help you follow along. But to begin, let me tell a story. A man's car broke down on a country road, and while he was looking under the hood to see what was wrong, a sheep trotted up to the nearby fence and looked over at the car and said, "Hey, it's probably the ignition." Now, this startled the man, and he ran off down the road until he bumped into a farmer, and he told the farmer what had happened. And the farmer asked him, "Hey, was it the big sheep, the one with the with E45 printed on her back?" "I think so," said the man. "Ah, don't listen to her," said the farmer. "She doesn't know anything about cars." As you made a guess, we are going to be talking about sheep a little bit this morning. And if you look over my shoulder right here, you will see a stuffed sheep and a plush Jesus, just to represent the fact that Jesus is continuing to talk about sheep and shepherds. And really, what we're talking about this morning is just a continuation of what we talked about last week. As Jesus is speaking using the imagery of sheep and shepherds to help his people, help these people understand who he is, and also to expose the religious leaders and authorities of his day for who they are. And so to begin, let's read from John chapter 10, starting at verse 11. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is the hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Here, Jesus is contrasting who he is with the religious leaders and authorities of his day. And he is saying that his love for his sheep, that his care for people like us is so great that he's willing to do whatever it takes to care for them, and that he will protect and rescue his sheep from whatever might threaten them. Now, this is in contrast with those who he calls the hired hands. These were people who were there to care for the sheep, but you know what? They're not invested in them. These are not their sheep. And so when a threat like a wolf arrives, they choose to save their own skin and they run away instead of standing there and fighting for the sheep. Jesus here is saying that this is not how it is with him. He is saying, "These are my sheep. These are my people, and I will do whatever it takes to protect them and to rescue them from being destroyed, even if it means giving up my own life." And so this leads us to our first point this morning, which is Jesus is the good shepherd who sacrifices for his sheep. You know, we could spend a lot of time studying theology to find an explanation about what exactly Jesus accomplishes on the cross. But I'm not sure that we would find a clearer or more down-to-earth description than this picture of a shepherd with his sheep and a threatening wolf. See, throughout Scripture, we see Satan and sin as being about destruction, about being about fear and division and death. In much the same way that, say, a wolf or any other predator would be a fearful, destructive presence to a flock of sheep. But at the cross, we see what it means for Jesus to be the good shepherd who rescues his sheep from the destructive forces of sin by laying down his own life. See, it's through his willingness to sacrifice himself that the powers of sin are confronted and defeated, and that his people would enjoy the fulfilled life that is connected to Jesus. And so this morning, as we look at what Jesus says, I will again invite us to ask ourselves two questions. And the first question is, what does this mean for me today? You know, as we think about this, we first see that what Jesus says about himself as being the good shepherd is an invitation for us to recognize him as the one who rescues us from the destructive forces of sin. And that because of Jesus, we do not need to live with the shame of our sin or even in fear, because we know that Jesus has dealt with our sinfulness and that he has invited us to live a fulfilled life in relationship with God. See, there is safety in being with the shepherd, in being with Jesus. And so for some of us, this is an invitation to choose to follow Jesus and to stay close to him. You know, we need to recognize that the destructive, chaotic forces around us are the result of sin. But as followers of Jesus, we do not need to fear, because we have the presence of the shepherd with us. And so in the middle of the season of fear and in the season of uncertainty, we are invited to know Jesus as the shepherd. And so perhaps the application for some of us this morning is to sit down and to take a deep breath and to use our text this morning as a reminder that Jesus is our shepherd. He is the shepherd who is with us in the midst of everything, and he is the one who has done everything needed to push back the darkness. You know, as followers of Jesus, we are reminded that the destructive forces in our world don't win. Whether it be a corrupt government, an evil corporation, or even an out-of-control virus, they don't win. You know, as followers of Jesus, we can look to the end of the story, and the end says that Jesus wins. All because Jesus was willing to lay down his life. In the book of Revelation, we get a wonderful vision of Jesus' victory. And in Revelation 21, verse 4, it says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." I love that last line, "for the old order of things has passed away." See, Jesus is about making things new. And so as we stay close to him, we can be people of hope, believing that the world as it is now is not the way that the story ends. Let's read the rest of what Jesus says this morning. Starting in verse 14. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." You know, the first bit we read can sound a little gloomy. I mean, it points to Jesus dying. It points to talks about destruction, a destructive force. But here Jesus talks about something interesting, maybe even exciting. And this is our second point this morning, and that is Jesus is the good shepherd who is about growing his flock. See, Jesus is not content to just rescue the present sheep from danger. He is going to enlarge this flock considerably by bringing in a whole lot of very different sheep. But what does he mean? Well, the original sheep that Jesus is talking about is the Jewish people. See, Jesus had been calling them to hear his voice, calling them to trust him and to follow him. But the Jewish prophets and authors had always hinted that God was not just interested in the Jewish people. Rather, his concern was much bigger. It was for the whole world. And so when Jesus talks about other sheep, he is talking about a great assembly of people from every part of the world. This inclusion of others is an expression of the Father's heart, which is why Jesus says the Father loves him. See, Jesus' actions are a direct expression of who God is. And so we should see that God has a heart for all people. Now, at this point, we come to our second application question, which is, what does this mean for my relationship with others? Now, first, I want to point out that this is a reminder that God's heart for people is not just restricted for people who are like us. You know, this would have been a shock for some of those in Jesus' audience. And it might be a shock for us as well. You know, as much as we might know in our heads that Jesus loves all people, sometimes we can have these unspoken thoughts about whether somebody is really worthy of Jesus. But in our text today, we are invited to understand that Jesus' love is so much bigger than our own. And that what his death accomplishes is for more than just the folks that we think are worthy, even include the folks that we think are really unworthy. Second, this really does thrust us out into mission. In what Jesus says here, the depiction of the hired hand running in fear is in contrast with the self-giving love of the shepherd. And as Jesus talks about loving others, and he ultimately shows us what it looks like at the cross, he looks to his followers and he invites them and he invites us to follow his example, to be people who are not driven by fear, but to be people who are moved to love others. And so, this is who we're to be. We are to be people who are thrust out into the lives of others, not to be people who are captured by fear. Now, for a moment, let's just recognize that fear is natural. If we're out camping in the woods and we hear a growling noise in the dark outside of our tent, fear can be a good thing. It's alerting us that something is wrong, that we should be careful and we should do something. We should take action to avoid disaster. But while fear can very much serve a purpose, we have to also recognize that fear has the ability to control us into some really negative ways. You know, fear can lead us to think only about ourselves. It can create in us a justified reason for seeing other people as a threat to our safety, a threat to our security. Fear can grow in us an angst that there won't be enough and can convince us that it's okay to take way more than we need. Fear can lead us to lose what is beautiful about being human and can lead us to acting in ways that are just not loving. And so rather, in the season of fear, we recognize that because of Jesus, we don't have to let fear call the shots. That because of Jesus, we can be people of hope and love. Now let me be clear, I'm not suggesting doing anything that is unsafe. You know, the social distancing thing that we're all talking about and we're practicing, that is loving others. It's protecting those who are vulnerable. But when we sense fear creeping in, we are to counter it with acts of love and generosity. And so we can go and pick up groceries for an elderly neighbor. We can send money to a friend whose income has been impacted by this pandemic. We can make phone calls to check in on a friend or a family member. We need to remember that being distanced from one another physically doesn't mean that we need to be isolated from one another relationally. This week I was out getting some groceries, and in the store, it was as if you could feel the fear of everybody that was there. Everybody kind of walked around very quietly, and with eyes kind of darting around. There was a fearful presence there. And as I walked around this grocery store, I could feel my own anxiety levels rising. But then something clicked. I was reminded of what we were talking about this morning, and I recognized how much control fear was having over me in that moment walking around that store. But in acknowledging this reality, there became space for me to entertain the question, what does it mean to be someone of love and joy and peace in this place? And so I tried some small things. I tried smiling or saying hello when I made eye contact with other people. I asked the cashiers how they were doing, and I thanked the employees for their help. I let people cut in line with their carts. You know, Scripture teaches us that love drives out fear, and in those small actions, I could feel the anxiety I was feeling melt away and be replaced by God's love for the people that I was with. You know, folks, as much as this is a scary time, we can see this as an opportunity for us as Jesus' church. You know, the world is different because of COVID-19. People are scared. People are isolated. But as my wife pointed out to me this week, these are moments that people start looking for hope. And they might start even looking for God. So as followers of Jesus, we can see this as an opportunity to embody for others that the shepherd is present. that despite what appears to be chaos, we are to embody that we know the one who brings chaos to order. We know the one who brings light into the darkness. We know the one who is making all things new, who is making the old order pass away, that we know Jesus. See, we have the opportunity to be people of hope and love because we know Jesus. And so maybe, just maybe, this is an opportunity for us to share the hope that we have in Jesus despite the presence of a destructive force. Please join me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to meet like this. We thank you for technology that is connecting us despite the fact that we are physically separated. Lord, this morning as we pray, we ask that your love would fill us and that fear would be sent away. Lord, for those of us who are dealing with a loss of income, Lord, we ask that we would not be afraid in these moments, but instead, Lord, we would trust you that you would provide for us. Indeed, Lord, as a church family, we ask that you would provide for the needs of others. Lord, this morning we ask for you to step in and to do what only you can in this situation. Lord, that you would bring an end to the spread of this virus. Lord, that you would bring healing to those who are afflicted. Lord, that you would protect the health of healthcare workers and those who are helping those who are dealing with COVID-19 and all of its implications. Lord, we thank you for them. And Lord, we ask that you would protect them and their family, that you would supernaturally be a part of their story. And Lord, that they would see you at work, even in this moment of struggle. Lord, for us as your church, we ask that you would help us to see this as an opportunity to share the hope that we have in you. Lord, that as we have conversations with our friends and our neighbors and our family members, Lord, that your love and your peace would come through. And Lord, that we would be living lives that gets people's attention, that they ask, what is different? And we would be able to answer that. Lord, thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. As I was in conversation with somebody this week, they reminded me that this is an opportunity for something else. You know, as a society, we are often very busy. We are constantly going from one thing to another, and suddenly we can't. Suddenly we aren't able to do all the things that we normally would do. And so maybe this is an opportunity for rest, an opportunity for Sabbath. And so this morning, let me encourage all of us to embrace this as an opportunity to spend time with our families, to spend time with God, to get into a new habit of spending time in scripture and in prayer, and to spend time maybe watching a movie with our family, to play games with our kids, to take an extra nap, to read a good book, to use this as an opportunity for rest. On the theme of rest, Jesus says this, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And so this morning we are reminded that Jesus is our shepherd who wants to give us rest. May we find rest for our souls in him. Thank you for joining us this morning. As I've said before, if you need anything, you need to chat, give us a call. You have something that you want us to be praying for you, please give us a call. We'd love to be able to do that. Send us an email. You can reach us here at the church office through phone, email, website, social media. We'd love to be in conversation. Have a good week. Thank you.